Hey everyone, you're listening to God's Whole Story, a podcast from Worship Center. We know just how hard it is to get into God's Word every single day, so we decided to read through the Bible chronologically and talk about it together. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, welcome to God's Whole Story. We are here with Chelsea and Chris and Lindsay Lotzball, so we're definitely going to have an awesome day today. But we are reading through Job 30, starting out in chapter 30, and I just want to know, guys, like, what did you notice as we read through things? What stuck out to you?
Well, what's interesting about starting off in this passage and where the day breaks is that we're in the middle of Job speaking. So yesterday we ended with Job talking about what his position used to be and all of his blessings that he did have, the life that he used to have before all of this calamity struck. And we are running right into now he speaks about his anguish. So I was like this. I was like a chief. I was like a king. And now I'm mocked. Now the people that are way beneath me are mocking me, making fun of me, taunting me. And I did have a question. I don't even know if you guys want to answer it or not, but are these people actually mocking him? Is this just metaphorical? Are people like passing by Job's tent and just like, look at that guy?
I mean, his friends
scratching at his boils.
His friends are definitely,
this town is the worst.
Village rumor mill might not have been too kind to Job.
Where did this guy grow up? Ooh, this is terrible.
Maybe it's social media.
Yeah. He got canceled.
Babylonian Twitter was hashtagging despise
okay.
Job.
So we don't have any answers for that.
You just didn't hear jokes about Babylonian Twitter just now? I think that's the answer.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, if it's metaphorical, if it's true, if it's metaphorical, either way, he's in this like deep anguish. He knows that like what he used to be is just a shadow of, man, it's gone. In his mind, he's done.
He's done. I think this is Job is hitting rock bottom.
Yeah.
He's fallen off the wagon, down the hill, over the river, through the woods. I think, and you know, it really did stand out to me that he's coming to the end of this. And the thing that was really interesting to me is the end of the words of Job are really his final anguish is his invisibility to God and the silence of God. He talks here. He says, I cry out to you, O God, but you don't even answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. That's in chapter 30, verse 20.
Yeah, it's like heart-wrenching to read.
It is heart-wrenching. And he goes again, if only at the very end of chapter 31, he's talking in verse 35, if only someone would listen to me, let the Almighty answer me, let someone write out charges against me. And I think we can all identify with that the silence of God is worse than any bad news that God could have given him. And he's done. He's like, I can take bad news. I can take you telling me I'm a terrible sinner. Mm-hmm. I can take you telling me this is why you've done this or whatever. Just tell me something. Just don't be silent.
Yeah.
And I think we can all really, it's kind of like with our parents, when our parents, we do something bad as a kid and our parents sometimes get mad at us, but then sometimes they get quiet. That's worse. But
I need to remember that tactic.
But yeah.
What's it like being quiet when you're angry?
But I think we can all, at some point in our life, we go through this time where we feel like God is totally absent. He's not there. He's silent. We are invisible to him. And that's the worst. And we'll see later on in the book that God comes around and he kind of speaks to that pain. Job speaks to that pain later on in the book.
And from the outside looking in, as people who are reading this thousands of years later, and we see the intro where Satan's like, hey, Job's only serving you for the blessings that he gets. If you take everything away, if you harm him, then he would curse you. We see even here, he doesn't curse God. And you can see his heart here where he wasn't being righteous for the sake of the blessings that he received.
Yeah.
He's hungry for the presence of God. He just wants to know God and see him face to face.
Yeah.
Because what we don't see happening here, that a lot of times when people feel the silence of God or they feel like he's not giving them answers or giving them direction or giving them what they're trusting for, like Job doesn't abandon his faith. He doesn't abandon that trust in God. It, in some ways, through this hardship, it's going deeper. You know, that all these accusations are coming, all these questions everything's stripped away, but Job still is there. And it kind of reminds me of this, you know, when we trust God, but we kind of know the outcome. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm trusting God, but my bank account is going to pay for this, even if God doesn't. You know, we kind of have our plan, but that true level of trusting God is when you have no idea how this is going to work out. And I think Job's kind of at this point, like he still has this trust in God, and it might even be a deeper trust in God, but it's devoid of answers. He doesn't have any idea what's going on. And I think we see, you know, as we progress through this book, that that trust is revealed, that he has not walked away from God. The silence of God did not lead to Job losing his faith. It maybe even deepened it.
The other thing that stands out to me, too, is although God is silent, Job is not silent. And it's amazing to me as I look at that this is part of the Bible. His wrestling, his anger, his like swearing, his accusing his friends. Like this is not like all polished, churchified, you know, oh, you know, God is so good. It's so lovely. He's laying it out there, and it's getting more raw and less Christianese. And God, I feel like this whole section is just one big banner that says God can take it. He can take the rawest of the raw of what we have to pour out to him, even when it's not just against our situation, sometimes even when it's against God himself, he can take it.
Yeah. I was working with a student one time, and he did not have an easy life, like at all. And when I was working with him as part of this program or whatever, and, I remember one night he was on a really tough night. Like he was getting fights with everybody, like all kinds of stuff. And it was actually like this really crazy, epic thing. Like we were sitting outside. It actually started to thunderstorm. And he was like, I just am so mad that you talk about God and how great he is. And God has never done anything for me. I was like, well, I guess you could probably just tell him about that. And like literally this kid like unleashed. I'm talking like he is like swearing a lot. And these were these were not church swearing prayers. These were the really bad word prayers. But he, like literally, like it actually happened. He's sitting on this log. I can see it in my head still. There's this thunderstorm. His brain is pouring in his face. And he's literally cursing God like, F you. I can't believe you took this from me. I can't believe you made me grow up without a mom. I can't believe you made me do this. And like unleashed. And literally, like that kid, he's an adult now, and he's actually doing pretty well. Like he has a pretty strong faith in God, and I'm very certain that his actual faith in God started that night. I mean, it definitely went, you know, he knew about God. He had grown up in like kind of a Christian kind of a place, but definitely his real faith and trust in God absolutely started that night with a lot of words that you're not allowed to use when you talk about God. It is powerful, actually.
Wow. If it's in there, get it out to God himself. There. Might as well. God knows it's in there.
Oh, man.
True. Yeah. And like Lindsay said, God's not intimidated by our feelings. He's not intimidated by our emotions or our words. He's not intimidated by that. He's the Almighty, as we're going to see later on. He can take it. He's not scared.
He's not. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for listening today. Man, we're learning so much in Job. So exciting. Go follow us on God's Whole Story Podcast on Instagram to see what we're up to and see where we're headed next. If you have any questions, be sure to send them our way. We will do our best to answer them or get people on here that are smarter than us that can answer them themselves. But thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Job chapter 30, starting in verse 1. But now I am mocked by people younger than I, by young men whose fathers are not worthy to run with my sheepdogs. A lot of good they are to me, those worn-out wretches. They are gaunt from poverty and hunger. They claw the dry ground and desolate wastelands. They pluck wild greens from among the bushes and eat the roots of broom trees. They are driven from human society, and people shout at them as if they were thieves. So now they live in frightening ravines, in caves and among the rocks. They sound like animals howling among the bushes, huddled together beneath the nettles. They are nameless fools, outcast from society. And now they mock me with vulgar songs. They taunt me. They despise me and won't come near me, except to spit in my face. For God has cut my bowstring. He has humbled me. So they have thrown off all restraint. These outcasts oppose me to my face. They send me sprawling. They lay traps in my path. They block my road and do everything they can to destroy me. They know I have no one to help me. They come at me from all directions. They jump at me when I am down. I live in terror now. My honor has blown away in the wind, and my prosperity has vanished like a cloud. And now my life seeps away. Depression haunts my days. At night, my bones are filled with pain, which gnaws at me relentlessly. With a strong hand, God grabs my shirt. He grips me by the collar of my coat. He has thrown me in the mud. I'm nothing more than dust and ashes. I cry to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You have become cruel towards me. You use your power to persecute me. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. I know you are sending me to my death, the destination of all who live. Surely no one would turn against the needy when they cry for help in their trouble. Did I not weep for those in trouble? Was I not deeply grieved for the needy? So I looked for good, but evil came instead. I waited for the light, but darkness fell. My heart is troubled and restless. Days of suffering torment me. I walk in gloom without sunlight. I stand in the public square and cry for help. Instead, I am considered a brother to jackals and a companion to owls. My skin is turned dark and my bones burn with fever. My heart plays sad music and my flute accompanies those who weep. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. For what has God chosen for us? What is our inheritance from the Almighty on high? Isn't it calamity for the wicked and misfortune for those who do evil? Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take? Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh me on the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity. If I have strayed from his pathways, or if my heart has lusted for what my eyes have seen, or if I am guilty of any other sins, then let someone else eat the crops I have planted. Let all that I have planted be uprooted. If my heart has been seduced by a woman, or if I have lusted for my neighbor's wife, then let my wife serve another man, for let other men sleep with her. For lust is a shameful sin, a crime that should be punished. It is a fire that burns all the way to hell. It would wipe out everything I own. If I have been unfair to my male and female servants when they brought their complaints to me, how could I face God? What could I say when he questioned me? For God created both me and my servants. He created us both in the womb. Have I refused to help the poor or crush the hopes of widows? Have I been stingy with my food and refused to share it with orphans? No, from childhood I have cared for orphans like a father, and all my life I have cared for widows. Whenever I saw the homeless without clothes and the needy with nothing to wear, did they not praise me for providing wool clothing to keep them warm? If I raised my hand against an orphan, knowing judges would take my side, then let my shoulders be wrenched out of place. Let my arm be torn from its socket. That would be better than facing God's judgment. For if the majesty of God opposes me, what hope is there? Have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Have I gloated about my wealth and all that I own? Have I looked at the sun shining in the skies or the moon walking down its silver pathway and been secretly enticed in my heart to throw kisses at them in worship? If so, I should be punished by the judges, for it would mean I had denied the God of heaven. Have I rejoiced when disaster struck my enemies or become excited when harm came their way? No, I have never sinned by cursing anyone or by asking for revenge. My servants have never said, let others go hungry. I have never turned away from a stranger, but have opened my doors to everyone. Have I tried to hide my sins like other people do, concealing my guilt in my heart? Have I feared the crowd or the contempt of the masses so that I kept quiet and stayed indoors? If only someone would listen to me. Look, I will sign my name to my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser write out the charges against me. I would face the accusation proudly. I would wear it like a crown, for I would tell him exactly what I have done. I will come before him like a prince. If my land accuses me and all its furrows cry out together, or if I have stolen its crops or murdered its owners, then let thistles grow in the land instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. Job's words are ended.